Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveals, that show that brings you the last week or a few weeks geeky, geekly news. As always, it's your boy, your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the weather-laden co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter and the Snowclear on Tumblr. I'm back on Tumblr. My queue has been starting to refill, so don't feel like I abandoned you there if you follow me there. It's cold here, but it's hot inside.
Is it cold there?
Well, it's not that cold as cold today as it was the last 2 days, but
my mind has been warped
the last 2 days.
We're at a balmy 45 degrees Fahrenheit, and that is a big improvement for you, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, today I was like, I went outside in like my less like apocalyptic winter coat, and I was like, oh, this is fine.
Yes.
But our steam heat is cranked all the way up with our, we have no ability to control it, so we're just all kind of cracking some windows open and putting on our summer jammies.
That is difficult. We have to figure out some way that we can edit out air noise or fan noise or something. I'm doing all right now. During podcasting, I found that I'm going to always be hot when I podcast, no matter what the temperature is outside or in my house. That's just the way that sitting in like a corner is. If I was laying on my bed, I'd be fine right now. But it's better than the 4 degrees we're supposed to get next Wednesday. So northeastern United States ain't doing so hot right now.
Yeah, same here. Like, my bed is probably cooler, but I sit at my desk to record, and that is right up next to the heating register, so.
Well, I'm by, like, a giant tower, so that's just going to crush me no matter what. But we're back. We have some more geeky news to talk about. Last time we talked to you all, it was from OhioCon, a Columbus anime convention, and we were very sad about the fashion choices there, on average.
Yeah,
But as I've been seeing a lot of fan art, well, just, I guess it's not fan art, it's just art that people are making. There's other kinds of art, I realize. And a lot of stuff I'm seeing at the cons, it's not the bad fashion. It's actually some pretty cool fashion. It's very reminiscent of Vaporwave.
Yeah.
You know, if you combine, like, Vapor and Synthwave aesthetics with a little bit of, like, Lisa Frank style, with a little bit of, like,
basically like a mix of the stuff that our bro Austin is putting out and like everything that we had bought in the last 3 months from Into the AM.
Yeah, it's like a anti-toxic masculinity. Like a lot of it I would still say is pretty masculine in some kind of way, even when it's like the pinks and the blues and the angles and stuff. But a lot of the Into the AM stuff is like, yo, we're men, but like it doesn't need to be gunmetal or camo. We're still gonna name it weird because that's how companies are, but our masculinity is not in danger. Check out this electric galactic V-neck over here. I don't know
it
what else.
It looks awesome in it.
It does. But yeah, lots of fashion. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about nerdy stuff. So
yeah.
The big hype, I guess, would be the Steven Universe stuff. That we'll get to. I'm sure we're going to give you a non-spoiler version of that. But I think we're going to do a separate recording that's going to be spoiler heavy. But we'll get to that. Let's go in some order. Steph, what do you want to start with? The new thing cool. on there, or should we start with the old thing that was right below it on the list?
Well, we can segue from one to the other because they're both in the same cinematic universe.
Of course.
So the first thing, which I only remembered a second ago, and when Dom was saying the big news is, I was like, oh, he remembered too, but
I did not.
I also agree that Steven Universe is exciting news, but some other big news that came out this week is the Oscar nominations, and some of them are bad, but one exciting thing is that they actually, like, got their shit together and nominated Black Panther for Best Picture. Will it win? Likely no, but it feels satisfying that the Academy actually went there and did it, as opposed to, like, adding that popular movie category to, like, skirt around it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm excited. They have, like, 7 nominations. A lot of them I forget which one it is. I'm trying to do my research on it real quick. But an African-American woman...
I'm really excited that the costume designer got nominated, because those costumes were phenomenal.
Well, they went out of their way to, like, represent real cultures and, like, make up, like, Afrofuturistic culture to a degree. All I remember is, like, that bright green dude.
Was that?
I just remember that bright green guy. You know, he had, like, the big suits and the,
Oh, yeah.
I believe the gauges and, like, the jaw gauge. And, like, he was just so loud in his appearance. And it felt right. Like, it was supposed to be there. And then, like, M'Baku and the Jabari guys, like, they had some cool costumes.
Yeah, and they sourced it all, what I was saying, they sourced it all from, like, actual African cultures. Yes. Like, it wasn't, like... let's take a picture of this and then mock it up in, like, a sweatshop in Santa Barbara.
Yeah. And they didn't just do general, like, hey, everything is just kente cloth, because that's Africa for you.
Right?
They didn't do that, which was pretty cool, actually. I'm surprised. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised when you have a staff and production team that is, I don't know, like, black. They'll do the right thing as possible when it comes to black people.
Fair.
Kind of like it's weird that the only person who got nominated for Black Klansman was Adam Driver, which is a weird look.
The only person, right?
I think
nominated for Best Movie, and I think he's the only actor.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yes. Which is, you know, weird. Is it Hannah Beechler? Is it the person I'm thinking of? The production designer?
Yes.
Yeah, she's the first. Yeah, she's the first black person of any gender, I think, to get nominated for this award, for a film production award. But also, like, she's had a hell of a run, you know, with Creed, Moonlight, the Lemonade for Beyonce, and then Black Panther. So it's like, you know, she's just you know, kicking ass. Like, I don't know what awards she has gotten, does or doesn't deserve, but I think she should get all of them.
I say, like, she didn't have to go that hard on us, but she did.
She really did, and it's... The funny thing is I don't think there's anybody who really dropped the ball on the aggregate production of Black Panther. Some of the CGI was a little bit rough, but that's, you know... Like I said, the aggregate was pretty good. Yeah, that's good to see. Someone said... I saw some people mention that, like... in their opinion, they wouldn't have put Black Panther, like, in their top five films. And then I've seen people say, like, whether that's true or not, I wouldn't have put any of these films, like, in my top five films.
Yeah.
So it's a weird section because, you know...
Goddamn Into the Spider-Verse should have gotten a Best Picture nom.
It got Best Animated, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so it was in the window. It should have got Best Picture, I think. Like, I believe a lot of people would put that over Black Panther. And now that we've, like, had some time that the hype has died down... And people have come to, like, whether they were, like, super, super into it for the sake of it or super against it because either racism or, like, hype backlash, which is a real thing. I'll give people credit for that. You know, hype backlash is totally a thing. I think people are saying, you know what, I do like the film, but it was overrated. And I think that's possible, you know, when people are giving anything, like, even an 11 out of 10, that's by definition overrated. That can't be true. If you say it's better than perfect, that can't be true. No film is really without flaws. I'd probably give, like, after some time, probably give, like, an 8 or 9. Some of the CGI was weird. There were some superfluous plot lines, I think, but I really liked it. But yeah, now we're starting to get some really interesting takes about the movie that are more balanced. Like, hey, yeah, I think this was actually pretty good. That said, Into the Spider-Verse is kind of on a different level as well. Maybe... some other things. People were saying they were upset that Sorry to Bother You wasn't on there, and Boots Riley pointed out that he didn't really do a campaign, like a For Your Consideration campaign, which he's like, I don't care. which, you know, that's...
which is good to know. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah, that's part of the game. If you don't do a campaign, you're not going to get it on there, which is no surprise that the Academy got their heads out of their ass for, like, a big, like, black movie around the same time that movie was... that has Disney money behind it. So it's like, of course, like, it had a big campaign, but I'm excited that it's there. I don't know if it'll win. I wouldn't be surprised if it won or if it lost at this point and what's going on.
I just feel like Green Book's gonna win, and it's such a lazy choice. It's such a, like, old white man choice.
Yeah, what did, I think I heard someone say, you know, the Academy loves, and by extension white people love movies about racism that center the racist. Like, there's a lot of, I saw a really good video the other day about Three Billboards out of Ebbing, Missouri, and they were talking about, like, yo, they use racism to make the bad guy look bad, but they don't address it in any way. Like, they don't address that, like, the main character, like,
they just
like,
forgive him for it.
Yeah, and then the main character, you know, makes a comment, like, oh, hey, you taking time, like, something along the lines, what, have you taken time from, like, the N-word beatings or whatever, but she says a word, and it's like, who's this joke for? Like, I get what the joke is. The joke is to say, you know, this person's so horrible. But it's like, yeah, but you have, like, this quote-unquote woke person, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making this joke who's like,
that's not really your joke to make with that word. That said, there's without making that person, like, also kind of racist, you know, that might work in, like, a slavery movie where it's like, hey, I'm a racist and you're a racist, but, like, you kill people. I just, like, don't deal with people. Not a great high horse to be on, but I could see that joke working in that setting. Not so much like a, hey, you're the bad guy, I'm not, kind of said. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, so I can only go by the many videos I've seen, but none of them, I've never seen anything that disagreed with this premise.
Yeah.
Any other Oscar stuff that you care about? I don't really pay much attention to the Oscars.
No, I mean, like, I don't really either. I really hope that Infinity War is nominated for, like, a best, like, CGI or whatever that is, like, best special effects. I really hope it doesn't win. I don't, like, one shitty team-up movie with an Academy Award is more than enough, and that's Suicide Squad.
But that got best, what, costume or something?
Best hair and makeup.
I mean, that, I'm not, like, and that's fair. I don't you know, hate, like, that, I don't hate that, but I don't love it either. Like,
yeah, it's like, I could disagree harder with a, like, I don't love it, but I'm not riled about it. It just is annoying that it's, like, one of those loophole things, like, where if you're on the New York Times bestseller list for, like, one day, you can call yourself a New York Times bestselling author for the rest of your life.
Yeah, like how Juicy J has an Oscar.
Yeah.
That he earned. I think he deserves it, but it's kind of weird to get a... It's whatever. Yeah, I don't... maybe we should do, like, an Oscars thing. I don't know. Maybe something we could do for the stream. Black Panther, though, that segues very nicely into Spider-Man. Spider-Man Far From Home trailer has come out since we last recorded. And I'm sure you have some thoughts. What are you thinking, Steph?
Where did it come out? I don't remember where I watched it.
I'm going to say last week.
So it was in front, it was just, then that means I watched it on, like, my phone or something, as opposed to, like, in a movie theater.
I'd imagine, because there's, like, a big old premiere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, my friend, one of my friends sent it to me.
Yeah.
So.
What'd you think? I didn't even watch it. I'm trying to, like...
I mean, I've seen some takes that I feel are very valid, that are, like, you took Spider-Man, whose whole thing is about being in his neighborhood, out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which, yeah, like, putting... Like, Spider-Man is definitively not an international hero. Like, he is a New York hero. So I can definitely understand frustration with that.
To be fair, he did go to D.C. in the last one.
He did, but that was on a field trip, and it's only 5 hours from here to D.C. by bus.
That's fair.
That said, I thought it was interesting that Nick Fury was there. I don't know what timeline this is in. Like, I don't know whether this is post-Infinity War or pre-Infinity War. And they are being very careful about not telling us by leaving Tony out of it entirely.
Yeah.
Did you see Homecoming?
I did see Homecoming.
Okay, yeah. So
I,
like,
liked it a lot. It's this weird thing that they're doing where, like, they have these, I guess, studio mandated hype cycles. But, like, mm-hmm. so that means they can't release information about this properly until we get a resolution to Infinity War Part 2.
Like, that's annoying.
So it's like, you don't have to hype the movie up right now. Like, we don't need a 6 month long hype cycle. If you're like, hey, Spider-Man comes out next month, we're all going to still go see it, whether or not it's.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is making the plot more confusing and hoping you can get people hyped up to see it so that if their fave dies in Infinity War or something, you're like, oh, well, this is actually a split timeline. We'll have become invested in wanting to go see it.
I feel like it's almost more a vehicle for hype for Endgame than it is for the actual Spider-Man movie.
I mean, that's also possible, yeah.
Like, because, like, Peter got dusted at the end of Infinity War and, like, very noticeably so, and, like, Tony's floating in space, like, all alone, like, possibly to die. So, like, I feel like they want to build the hype more around, like, here's some stuff. Like, we can't tell you what happens in an Endgame, but here are some things that you can extrapolate theories from.
Yeah, because,
much more.
We all know it's, like, I'll understand how companies work or comics work or, like, emotional beats work. So we know people are going to come back for the most part. Like, we know Black Panther's coming back. We know Spider-Man's coming back because it's too early in their franchise for them to get dusted. We don't know about Chris Evans and Tony Stark.
That's, and also because Marvel likes money.
Yeah, Marvel likes money too much for people to just go away. Like, that's what I mean. Like, we know how companies work. So we know these people will be back for XYZ reasons. So it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just, I feel like so anti-hyped about so much of this stuff. Despite watching the trailer for Endgame, like, having a very emotional response and being like, I don't even know if I'm going to go see this because, like, just burn out on, like, the corporate culture behind it so much. Like, I don't know how much I care anymore. Like, I'm getting really pushed to the edge of, like, do I want to sit down for, like, a 3-hour movie that, like, a lot of people said it, like, is emotionally, like, just draining. Like, do I want to watch a comic book movie and feel tired after that and then be like, I guess I'll just sit here for a while and digest? That doesn't sound fun to me. And then having to go do that again, like, having to do that in preparation to do it again, feels like, I don't, like, why am I doing this, man? You know. That said, I do like the idea of them saying Far From Home and making Spider-Man not as much of a hometown hero to differentiate the 8 billion Spider-Man we have. Like, there's a lot of Spider-Man this year, like, in many mediums. Like, Into the Spider-Verse had, like, a billion Spider-Mans. Then Spider-Man came off of PS4, which had a billion Spider-Man costumes. And then Infinity War was earlier that year, and it's like, yo, man, I don't... And they're all vastly different Spider-Mans, too. So it's not even like, wow, I've seen Tom Holland too much. Or it's like, I've seen Spider stuff too much, and I just need a break. And yeah, I haven't even consumed any of it. It's just been... I don't own a PS4. I didn't get it for my girlfriend's PS4. I didn't see Into the Spider-Verse. I didn't see Infinity War. But, like, go, like, 3 days...
You gotta see Into the Spider-Verse.
I really want to. I'm just so tired all the time. It's too much for me. But I'm gonna cave. I don't not want to. I'm just very lazy. Let's get into some bad... Let's jump around to some bad news, because we're going to just go nothing but uphill from here. So a couple of weeks ago, there was, like, a case, and, you know, trigger warning for violence and, I guess, gender nonsense. There was, like, a stalker at some anime convention.
I saw that.
Yeah, he caught this woman's car on fire, which ended up catching two other cars, like, melting them. The guy is going to jail, I believe, but that's really unfortunate. So I just want to use this time to tell people to, you know, be safe at these conventions. If you see something, like, you know, call people out, call security, try to help your friends stay in good situations. And, you know, I'm not going to say the onus is on victims and bystanders to stop problems, but unfortunately it's, like, a very difficult world to, like, you know, just keep your eyes open and, you know, keep reporting people for creepy behavior, because it's very likely that the people who caused big problems were creepy in times before that. So if you see, like, a call-out post on, like, say, I don't know, like, a pervert that goes to your local conventions, you know, maybe take that, you know, and
take it seriously.
Yeah, take it seriously. We've seen that around our scene, and it's apparently has done some good, and it's called some people out from like their predatory behavior, and you know, that's a good thing to do. These should be spaces that are for everybody. Even, you know, I know some people are being like jackasses and annoying and wearing distasteful shirts, but we want to make sure people are safe and comfortable. So, you know, call this bad behavior before it escalates. And if you are one of those people, stop being a jackass, because, like...
Yeah, exactly.
People don't owe you their time or their property or their bodies, so... That's the somber stuff. I don't know if there's anything else to really add to that. I just thought it was a very strange situation. And it's painful to have to even talk about. Luckily, the person, I believe, was okay. She wasn't, like, in the car or anything, and she didn't, like, get attacked, so...
Yeah.
Take these things seriously, people. There's not a good way to segue out of something somber like that. So, you know, let's just point that out and move along to everyone's favorite toy manufacturer.
There's like a con blow through here.
There is. You know, you can buy Funko Pops at conventions. That's related. That's the through line. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I got you. I got the segue.
Thank you for the segue. Have you seen any of the stuff from the London Toy Fair?
I did, and I have completely forgotten what it is, so tell me about it.
I don't really know what the London Toy Fair is. I'm assuming it's like E3, but for toy makers.
Yeah, that's what I would posit myself.
Yes. That said, Funko goes there, and they do like a lot of, you know, like reveals for all the stuff that they're going to be having coming out at some point. They don't really do a hype cycle so much as just tell you, hey, we have some shit coming out. And that said, they had a lot of cool looking shit. I'm trying to scroll back to find some of the favorites I had because there's a lot. Where's it at? Stalling, I'm vamping, I'm saying things.
It's okay. I can tell you guys a fun behind the curtain thing is that we are recording in a very bizarre way today.
Yes.
I have called Dom on my phone through Skype. And I'm recording this podcast on Audacity like we used to before we streamed. And speaking into my Bluetooth microphone headphones so that he could hear me. Because good old New York City, our wonderful internet provider Optimum, has had a power outage all day. This morning, they messaged my roommate and said, hey, we're going to have a power outage. We think we're going to have it fixed around 3. At 3, they texted her again and said, we think 4:30. Listeners, it is now 8:30 p.m. and we do not have the internets.
It's terrible. Okay, so I've scrolled down far enough to find a lot of this stuff. It's a lot. There's actually a lot of cool stuff. They did announcements on their Twitter, and the first thing I see is Batman 80th. So, you know, 80 years of Batman and a bunch of classic pops. Very cool. What's next?
Nice.
DC Primal Age. They're not their pops. I don't care. Also some Incredibles ones. Again, not pops. Not my shtick. Then some Little Mermaid ones. Ooh, what are these? Oh, wait, there's also pops. Fantastic. These look very good. The Little Mermaid. You got two Ursulas. You got a little chef guy. Ariel has a purse and she's on a wave. It's great. What else do we have? More non-pops, more non-pops, Toy Story, da-da-da. Hey, Gears of War. Non-pops. Gears of War, got some pops. Persona 5, got some pops. You have
Did
Joker.
Did you see the whole lineup of DBZ pops?
Oh, I'm getting to it, homie. I think it's probably next. Nope, Warhammer 40K. Then more Overwatches. We're getting there. D.Va finally without her mech. Lots of cool different
Has
stuff.
Has she never been out without her mech before?
No, all they had was a mech pop you can buy and had a little mini D.Va. Now you can buy like a full-size D.Va instead of like in a pop, instead of in a mech. Then some Lord of the Rings thing, I think. Yeah, it's a pop.
Yeah, it's the ring wraith.
Yeah, had to look for the eyes, you never know.
Is it a pop?
Some Harry Potter junk.
You don't got eyes.
What else we got? Game of Thrones, Bewitched, Gretzko.
Ooh, Gretzko.
Three Gretzkos, actually.
At the same time.
Yeah, they're great.
They've got the angry one and the regular one.
Yeah, we got the angry one, then the regular one, then an angry one with a chainsaw.
Nice.
Oh.
That's the mood.
And there's one that's only a target that just is like classic Agretzko that's not in her work clothes, like a home outfit. Very nice. And then, like you said, the full Dragon Ball Z lineup. There's a lot here. I think it's from the Saiyan Saga.
So many.
But also Frieza and Boo. And then Brawly's here because I think that's Brawly. It must be. And then...
There's a whole additional slide if you're looking at the slide pictures that has, like, various Super Saiyan power-ups.
Yeah, there's Super Saiyan Goku.
Like, the sparkly green one is crazy.
Yeah, that's Brawly. I don't know what the bottom two are. I think it's... Because I'm seeing a sword. I don't know who that is. It must be Gohan or Yamcha. I don't know who that is. All Funko Pops look the same, but it's no one's hair I recognize. And then Gotenks, because he's cool. Wonder Woman.
There's a...
Here's the jam, though. Have you seen the jam?
What's the jam?
We got SpongeBob Pops. More importantly, there's a Bang Geeks one.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the good stuff right there.
They know what we want from this shit.
We got some.
Ooh, it's so good.
Then we got some Office Space ones, some Scooby Doo ones. Morrissey.
I'm looking at the art for the Scooby Doo ones because it just looks like it's concept art so far.
Yeah.
And I do find it questionable that they chose to include, like, the Ooga Booga Tribal Mast.
Yeah, I think stuff like that is, like, a weird level. Yeah, it's problematic in a way that's, like, to whom? And you're like, in general, man, like, it's not a hot look right now.
They could have done, I don't know if they thought maybe it would look too similar to the, like, the Martian skull face guy. But, like, there's a lot of other classic Scooby-Doo villains, like the spooky diver and like Tarface and lots of and like the Jeepers Creepers, the creeper, like that they could have picked instead of like this witch doctor looking bud.
Yeah, they're probably gonna let it rock since Crash has recently come back and his tribal mask dude has been able to rock. So like Funko's like, hey, we're just we have no opinion on this. We'll see, though. Again, it's not like... It's weird because they didn't make this character up. So I wouldn't have really ran with that, but... Also,
yeah. I at least wouldn't have run with it in the first, like, push.
I think this is the second push. Well, no.
Scooby-Doo Pops.
This is their second push since, like, the start. It's kind of like how Sonic was. There's, like, some old Sonic Pops that are horrifying from the initial run. But like they're like $100, like they're like $200 a pop, because they don't make them anymore, and they're actually pretty ghastly, I think. But it's kind of funny. So I think there were some old Scooby Doo ones, but these are like a new line. Yeah, I wasn't around with that guy either. Yeah, like I said, Morrissey's here. Oh, hey, J.J. Abrams, the Funko Pop.
I saw that.
We also got
J.J. Abrams Funko Pop. I'm gonna buy you and sacrifice things to you to give me Gay Poe Dameron in Star Wars 9.
Oh yeah, we should get that. Football, but soccer, UFC, that's mostly it. It's more Cuphead stuff. Yeah, we're at the end. It is Fall 76. No one loves that game.
Ooh, Host Club.
Host Club? Like Orin High School Host Club?
Yeah, Orin High School Host Club. It's Haruhi and Tamaki and Kyoya.
Ooh, fancy.
Nice.
We Bear Bears, Dr. Seuss. Hey, did you see the memes?
Space Jam.
Where are you looking at? I'm not seeing any of this.
I literally Googled London Toy... Googled. Oh, I searched London Toy Fair under photos and Twitter results.
Yeah.
And I'm just scrolling down.
Hey, Pusheen. There's KFC. KFC Colonel. Was anyone asking for that?
I don't know. Ariel Monsters and Rugrats?
Yeah, those have been out for a while, yeah. That may
I was
going
to say, we saw the cat dog one.
Yeah, that may have been...
this is from last year now.
Yeah, that may have been last year's Toy Fair. Yeah, this one just came out. But there's a lot of good stuff. So if you're a collector, you'd like seeing the stuff, it's out. And also, you know, Britney Spears with her snake. Sparkly Prince. More Cuphead. Who's not happy by this? I'm happy from this. It's good shit.
Good shit.
That's a long Funko diatribe, but we did it. We in here.
Yeah. You still with us, listeners? You
still here? Hey.
Still here, still queer, still like plastic toys.
Have you heard? Are they plastic? Is vinyl plastic?
Yeah, plastic?
Vinyl's like a special plastic, though. It's all from petroleum. It doesn't matter. I was just remember like a materials class. It's harder than like it's a different kind of plastic. That's why that's why Legos are so expensive. They're made out of a better they're made out of
Better quality.
Yeah, I think it's PVC they're made out of. Yeah.
Interesting.
The PVC chemical. Oh, wow, flashback to junior year of college. Anyway, have you heard that trans rights are human rights?
I have heard.
I've heard that a lot over the last few days. Lots of voices have been amplified.
They're true. It's true.
So, this past weekend was wild. So, there's this guy.
So, do you know the whole story here? Because I gleaned it from
Twitter. But... So, I follow the guy. This guy, H Bomber guy. This European, I want to say British. He's like Scottish, YouTuber. Scottish? I think he's
brilliant. Well, the Scottish Parliament gave him a
They gave him something
citation of honor for
he may live there.
Not to jump ahead.
Yeah, he may live there, but I think he's British. I can't remember though. Yeah, because he had to vote on Brexit, I think. Anyway, he's from the EU, and he's like one of the like leftist YouTubers. Like LeftTube's been getting pretty big recently. He has a lot of popular stuff.
Praise be. I said praise be.
Yeah, praise be. There's this whole thing where if you look at, like, conservative, like, anti-SJW right-wing, alt-right YouTube, it's real, like, hacky and crap, like, thrown together. Like, they get tons of views because it's an echo chamber and it affirms people, but they don't put a lot of effort into their YouTube videos as far as production. But then you look at, like, LeftTube, which a lot of the stars right now are, like, H-Bomber guy, who we'll get back to, Sean and Jen, Lindsay Ellis, formerly of Channel Awesome, probably, who's done much better work now. Dan Olsen and ContraPoints and a lot of those, you know, that sort of that sphere do some very high level production, high quality YouTube stuff. No matter how you feel about her, one way or another, whether you're left or right, ContraPoints, her videos are a visual masterpiece to look at that will put you in a very interesting headspace before you even consider any of the things she's talking about. Very strong visual language, very high production quality, high rehearsal. And then you can say the same for all of them, but her aesthetic is very bright. And hey, you're going to listen to me, asshole, because I have something important to say. Mm-hmm. And then backs it up with, you know, real knowledge and whatnot. But it's just the aesthetic is very good. But H-Bomber guy, he has a lot of videos where he's taking down these right tubers and it's kind of pointing out like the nonsense they're talking about or finding flaws in their arguments in a comedic way. He did a really good... he's the one I sent you the video about why Sherlock was terrible. He did that video.
Yeah, that's the only one of those I've ever watched, and it was literally fascinating. I'm the kind of person with the short attention span that I can't, like, watch a video that's more than, like, a minute on my phone, like, without, like, emotionally preparing myself. This thing was 90 minutes long, and from, like, the first minute, I was just hooked and watched it all the way through.
I've
like,
never watched a minute of Sherlock in my entire life, and I watched that entire thing with bated breath hanging on every word because he's a fascinating guy.
It was exactly as long as an episode of Sherlock, and better. More entertaining.
I'm sure a lot of people would agree. He's done similar work for, I think, Bloodborne, and he did a really interesting thing where... He has this series called Serious Lore Analysis, where he kind of goes overly deep into a subject, like a video game. He did one on New Donk City from Mario. He did one on Sonic the Hedgehog. So we were all hoping, hey, where's Serious Lore Analysis of Sonic 2? You said you were going to do it. So he starts a video like he's going to do that. He's since renamed it because it was kind of a troll at first, but it's actually a Serious Lore Analysis on Control-Alt-Delete, the comic, where Lost is from. And he kind of gets into, like, why that comic is so hated at this point in time. And he compares it to The Room and does all this other stuff. And it's a very interesting, deep video that I recommend so highly. I watch it a lot, actually. It's a good video. But anyway, so he's kind of a memer. I think he has recently come out as being in the queer community. And, you know, just kind of makes videos that provoke people that are mad, like... people that hate soy because they think it makes us feminine. He's like, yeah, here's why all that stuff you're saying is wrong. It's nonsense. It's scientifically nonsense and it doesn't make any sense. And here's all the reasons why you're wrong and why what you're saying is dumb. So he's made different videos and different kind of things. And some guy over in Britain who's a transphobe has said something.
Oh, so he was someone involved in the show the IT Crowd that
That's who that was?
Ayade was in.
Okay. So yeah, he was
talking. His name's Graham Lynham.
Yeah.
So... Lynham something.
Okay. So yeah, he was chatting some shit, and from what I understand, H Bomber guy's like, okay, cool, fine, I'm gonna donate a bunch of money to like trans people, to a trans organization. That's what I'm going.
Oh,
to...
I know the story. I know the details.
Yes, hit me with those details. Cause I saw him generally gesturing. He's been saying, I'm going to do a stream with Donkey Kong Country 64. I'm going to 101% it. And everyone's like, "That's don't do that to yourself, man." but what are some of the details on this
that you're looking at? So the background story to why he decided to do the charity that he particularly chose, which is Mermaids, which is a trans support charity in the UK, is that it was recently added to the number, like the list of charities that national lottery money goes to, and like so it's just a small percentage, but it's something. And this transphobe got wind of this and was just supremely butthurt about it, and like got some sort of like British version of the Million Moms to all call the national lottery to try to get the money taken back away. And so he was like, fuck this, I'm going to stream and raise money for these people. And he did.
And so not only did he raise money, because that'd be cool in itself. Let's say he raised $1,000. Cool story. We'd be happy. But that's not quite the whole of it. So before I get into like the real awesome stuff about it, he kept a timer of how long it took him to beat this. So his name is now on like speedrunning.com or whatever. As like he's in the last place because this game takes a long time to beat, and he just was like digging around a little bit. I think the time before, the fastest time that's right before him is like still 19 hours. Like, this is a game that takes 19 hours, like doing the best you can to get 101% because it's poorly optimized. It's a bad game. Not by today's standards, you know, upon further inspection. That's, I think all the developers probably put their hearts and soul into it, but things change. You can't patch those old games. I'm sure they would have made some changes. So it's not a slight against them, but the thing happened. That's so he's like 57 hours. That's how long the stream took.
Oh my God.
Because you know that's how these games were designed to be played. But so he raised over $300,000, I believe, not pounds but dollars.
Yes.
Tons of money over this stream over these few days. Lots of people were helping moderate it. He made sure to repeatedly say, "Hey, you know, I might be cis. I'm an ally. You should still listen to trans voices. Like, make sure to." Amplify trans voices. They had like moderators and people guesting on the stream that were trans, so he made sure to be using his platform to amplify voices rather than talk over, which A plus right there. And then you know, badass of the year, I guess, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, came on and talked a little bit about policy, a little bit about Nintendo 64, and a little bit about just, you know, chit-chatting. Because...
which is so wild to me. Like, it's like I saw a tweet that today that was like, "Is this what boomers feel like all the time?" Like it's like reading, like an interview with an author who like didn't ever realize that they could write about the kind of person that they are until they saw themselves represented in a book somewhere else. So like I didn't realize you could write a book with a Latina main character, or like whatever, like that.
Okay.
The idea that someone who is representing, like, my city, like, I don't live in her district, but, like, someone who is in Congress, who is our age, and can speak to public policy in, like, such an educated way, but also is, like, a young and tired millennial who gets all our jokes and can meme the hardest on Twitter and, like, jump into a Twitch stream. I don't even know how to... get into a Twitch screen stream.
So someone pointed out, like, "Hey, this is all fine and good. Like, this is really awesome that she did this, but we're all overlooking the fact that she just already had a Discord account just ready to go, like, just to chat. Like, she already just had that, and it's, you know, that's pretty cool that she did not say, 'Oh, I have to figure this out. Let me see.' It's like, 'Oh yeah, I have.' Like, implicitly, is kind of saying, 'Oh yeah, she just had that. That's pretty dope that we have a rep. That, well, not me personally, but like, you know." There's a representative like, "Yeah, I have Discord. Like, I can come chat for a little bit," for like, I think about 10 minutes she was able to stay on. And it was funny just seeing him like look on his face like, "Whoa, like, you're killing it over there. Like, great stuff." it's funny seeing that kind of, and she's like, oh yeah, like, just, it's cool. It's a very cool thing. I'm very happy about it. That's what everybody was talking about as soon as I got back on Twitter this Monday.
I was like, oh, man, yeah, awesome. Her and Chelsea Manning were in the chat at the same time, just like dishing on public policy and like world security, trans rights.
It's good. It's good to hear that. And then there's a guy. It's this is more just funny. John Romero was like a game developer a while ago. I don't remember all what he did, but he's just like sort of like a guy that it's a little bit like meme-y. He like makes movies and stuff, but yeah, like apparently, I think he's the guy behind like the original Doom and stuff. Like he did a lot of that stuff. He even came in and was like, "Hey guys, trans rights are human rights," and just like peaced out. Like, and it's like that's a pretty big deal of a guy to get on your stream. He's like, "Yeah, I'm just here to support. See ya." Like. if I'm understanding it correctly, but it was just a very, very huge success on all accounts from what I understand. So it's good to see that, you know, people are able to do what they can as allies. It's kind of what it's about, you know, is, look, I'm just going to play this video game and hopefully get people to donate and raise a lot of money for this charity. And I'm going to amplify some voices while I'm at it, you know? And I think that's pretty dope. That's pretty good that was able to happen, especially in these trying times.
Yeah, seriously. I think, like, and I know that it's not every, like, we already knew it wasn't every gamer is a bigot, but it was nice to see such a big outpouring of something that validated that.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, that's, it. I do hate that so many people are saying, like, oh, hey, you know, we're taking it back from, like, the cishet white dude bros. I'm like, well, we don't have to take it back, like... Like, you know, we've been here the whole time. Like, you know, I mean, some of us didn't realize that we weren't straight, or maybe we're closeted or whatever, but we've always been here. And, you know, when you have, actually, I guess it's been two queer gamers, really, but, you know, a couple, like, Sonic Fox is still pissing people off by existing and just whooping all kinds of ass in all the games he's playing, you know. H-Bomber guy's over here, like, saying, hey, I'm going to amplify some voices and raise a ton of money. Like, and you can't stop me because I'm doing something good. It's good to see that, like, these are the faces that are, like, starting to make the news. And all the blowback is, hey, you guys are, like, mad about us existing. And it's nice to see that that's kind of what people are starting to associate with games in a degree. Like, people had to go on TV and for the first time say, oh, no, this was so this Twitch thing, you'll never believe it. Someone didn't say the N-word. Someone
and instead raised $300,000 for trans people.
And like, so what is Twitch and what is Donkey Kong 64? Like, okay, before we start, we're gonna have to talk about parallel dimensions. it's kind of like the situation we're in right now. And, you know, normally when there's a Twitch stream, it's a discussion, it's normally about like Ninja or Dr. Disrespect, who are like characters to a degree, or like have a lot of baggage with them, you know, like. You know, to describe Ninja, you have to describe, like, what esports is, and you have to describe Fortnite, like, and why people like it, and you have to describe the whole Battle Royale genre and all this, and, like, how Twitch works. But for this story, like, hey, this guy was streaming a video game live, it's kind of like TV, but for video games, and he got a lot of people to donate. Like, what's Donkey Kong 64? Oh, I know Donkey Kong! He's that ape from before. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, what's Nintendo 64? That thing from 18 years ago? I remember that. Like, no, 20 years ago, even. So.
You got this, man. You remembered. Like, good job.
Yeah, so you don't have to, like, go and make people feel, like, ostracized for not understanding things. It's pretty straightforward. So that's good. And the face, although the demographic isn't changing, the face is changing a little bit. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's good news. Congrats to him. You guys should. Yeah, you also go check out his channel anyway. There's a lot of good things. Some of it's thought-provoking. Some of it's just fun, like dunking on dumb people. Not dumb, I shouldn't say dumb. Dunking on people that are being intellectually dishonest or just jerks. And it's fun to dunk on those people for saying, I'm going to be very scientific. Here's me not citing sources and misreading surveys. So, like, it's very enjoyable. And he has a good sense of humor, so. Throw him some bucks if you can, and if not, the views.
Yeah. If not, throw Mermaids, the charity, some bucks.
Do both.
Just because they got some money now doesn't mean they won't need more in the future.
Yeah, especially now. So what is it? Is government still shut down? That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, sure is. Woohoo!
Yeesh. At least we got these. We didn't talk about this, you know, because we haven't had the opportunity. Like, I don't want to get too heavy into the politics of anything. But can we, like, laugh at the fact that the President of the United States served, like, fast food to, like, the collegiate athletes? Like, can we just, like, vocal faux pas aside, can we just think about that for a second? Like, no matter who did that, you couldn't... I don't know, man. I would have got Chipotle to cater that before I went to McDonald's, man. Like...
Like, at least, I don't even know, like, at least get, like, KFC or something that has, like, clearly, like, a side and a main, like, just piles and piles of Big Macs, like, that are cold.
That's just, like, such a weird, like, look. That's, someone pointed out that Trump is everything that, like, racist people said a black president would be. Like, mm-hmm. He serves people fast food, he's always on vacation, he acts like a child. He probably can't read. He's a liar.
I don't think he can read.
And it's like, yo, man, imagine if Obama had served somebody a Big Mac in the White House. Like,
even we would still be talking about it.
Even if it was their request, like, yo, Obama, I don't want anything fancy. Like, you guys do enough. Just give me, like, a some fast food. It would be a scandal.
Like, holy shit. People still, like, give... Like, we're still talking about the time he wore a tan suit on Easter. Like...
I mean, some of us were talking about it because it was fly, but you're right.
Oh, yeah, it was fly as hell. But, like, talking about it like it was, like, the biggest disrespect to the presidency that has ever happened. And then some racist fuck in a bad wig came on and put ranch dressing for McDonald's in the Lincoln silver.
You know, remember when he gave Ellen that, like, civilian award? And people were trying to compare that to, Trump giving, like... an army award out.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Congressional Medal of Honor versus like a whatever the civilian one was.
It's just something that you give. Yeah, it's so bad. It's
cool false equivalency. Cool.
It's so wild. That's all the politics I really feel like getting into like right now, because as always, there's literally like, not literally, but there's garbage happening, and I just don't feel like getting into it because you all are probably aware of it, and if you're not.
I mean, there is literal garbage happening, too.
Oh, like, yeah,
climate change is still a problem.
Climate change is still a problem. No one's cleaning our parks. The government shut down. People are being hurt, actually. Like, there's nothing funny about that. It's a little funny that D.C. is dirty around the White House, but the other stuff that's happening is not so funny. So how about, you know, your government employee friends, if you can.
It's, like, alarming. Like, I signed in to pay off my American Express card today, and, like, they have a big banner at the top of the site that's, like, if you are having trouble paying your bills due to the government shutdown, we're here to help. Like, even the credit card companies.
Yeah, like, the credit card companies are like, hey, we're predatory, and we want to get more money from you later. That said, we understand the basic premise of, if you die, you can't give us any money. Where the government's like, we don't care if you die. And that feels wrong in a way that I don't, mm-hmm. I can't wrap my head around. Like, we're like, and this isn't even like me exaggerating. There's like all these telltale signs of like bad dystopian fiction happening right now. And it's not even like, oh man, the Republicans are in power. I'm going to say this is just like Walking Dead. Like, no, we're not quite at apocalypse right now, but there's people dying because the government shut down because a wall. Like, there's fast food in the White House. There's garbage everywhere. It's like, yo, what's going on right now? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this shouldn't be happening. It's literally happening around us. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's no good.
Anyway. Don't like it. You want to hear something that's probably equally as dumb but not as bad because it's, like, not hurting anybody?
Sure.
So there's a game, Farming Simulator.
Oh, I saw this on here. I was like, what the fuck does this mean?
There's a video called Farming Simulator, and it's a farming simulator. You just, you know, you can get it's tractors like and power Farmville? Tools. It's like Farmville, but imagine you know, more Sims-like, like Roller Coaster Tycoon, but it's a farm.
Got it.
There's an esports division for it now. The studio behind it announced today, they wanted to announce, I think that's today. Yeah, I'm reading from Kotaku. They decided to make the decision of a full-blown esport by committing 250,000 euros, I believe that sign is euros, or approximately 284K in prize money to the establishment of a farming simulator league where teams of three will compete so you can be the best at stuff like stacking bales of hay. So all the different things you can do in the game. But there's going to be a few other events, different challenges, farming-based tasks. And that's patently ridiculous. That's completely absurd.
But in an enjoyable way, at least.
Oh, absolutely. Look, if a company has made so much money that they're willing to put money back in to say, hey, if you guys want to get an esports league on this, we'll put some prize money up. Go ahead and have some goofy fun. It's all entertainment. Like, these companies just want to get our money from entertainment anyway. If part of that entails them, hey, we're also going to just have people play this game at a really high level, this doesn't hurt anybody. It's pretty funny. It'd be nice to, like, if there was, like, a gaming Olympics, it'd be cool for, like, the sideshow category. I'm all for it. It's absurd, but they also play Catherine competitively at some fighting game tournaments, so, like...
Interesting.
Yeah, you know that game Catherine where the dude dates with two Catherines? Yeah, but, so there's these dream sequences where you have to, like, climb up these towers, kind of like a puzzle climber. They'll play that competitively, like, on the side, like, doing salty bet and stuff like that. Like, while people are waiting for their time, like, oh, man, I'm waiting for my turn at Melee or, like, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Well, until then, you want to get a couple rounds of Catherine in? Like, yeah, let's do it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so weird to see, but you'll see people playing it in the game rooms. It's great, so. I just thought that was a fun little thing to come about, especially with Overwatch League starting in 3 weeks. It's about 22 days. Ooh. It's Valentine's Day weekend. It starts on Valentine's Day with a more streamlined schedule. So I'm excited for that.
Interesting.
The Lunar New Year event starts tomorrow, the 24th, so a couple days ago as of hearing this on recording. Lots of skins. I've refrained from actually seeing them. Like, I know they are. I've seen features of it, but I haven't looked at them in depth. Mm-hmm. I still want to be a little bit surprised. But, yeah. So Overwatch is coming to a head. Like, lots of jersey reveals. There's some slick-ass jerseys coming out. A lot of cool media.
Nice.
You should get behind a team this year, Steph. It's going to be a good year.
You'll have to, like, not to make myself sound like a girl who doesn't know anything about video games, but I don't know anything about it still.
Yeah.
You still got to teach me.
Steph, you're a girl who doesn't know anything about video games because that's true, not because you're a girl.
That's fair.
Also, I think it's just this game that you don't know about. Like, you play games.
That's also true. Yeah, I've spent so much time on fucking Crash Bandicoot this last week.
Haha, you're a gamer. Haha, nerd.
Haha.
how you doing on that?
I finally beat the fucking level that I was playing last weekend, the Native Fortress one. It's so long. I've gotten through, like, three more levels since then. I still haven't beat the first one, because I got the Insane Trilogy.
Yeah.
So...
I would have just went straight to Warped.
But I'm making progress.
Good. You having fun at least?
Yes, or a fulfilling challenge? Yes.
Good.
Feeling challenged and having fun.
Cool. I hope Crash gets into Smash. That'd be cool. But yeah, I want to do some stuff that, like, teaches people how to watch the game from a cursory level. It's still just, like, a dense game to watch because all the colors, so a lot of it does just devolve into waiting to hear certain things and looking at the kill feed to see if it worked. And that's even what a lot of high-level people have to do, because spectating is difficult when it's not first person, because...
Yeah.
Third person is weird when things just start flashing lights, but... It's a good time to be a New York Excelsior fan. They've always been good, nice. So...
It's always nice when your fair-weather team is also your hometown team, so yes. You don't have to be, like, bandwagoning to root for them.
That's true. They do have some charming people on their team. I think everybody became a New York fan for that brief moment when Pine was just, like, getting all these, like, full team wipes as McCree, like, Big Boss Pine is not somebody you want to trifle with. But I didn't get to talk about this because I was taking a minor break from Twitter because I was having a really rough last week and a half. I am happy to say I finally found a team in Overwatch League that I want to root against. I will be rooting against Paris Eternal for the entire season, I believe.
And why is that?
So
tell me why.
It's disappointing because I'm still looking for a team I want. It's between, I have different players on each team that I like.
Having an enemy is the start.
Yeah, having an enemy is the start. So I think I'm going to, like, I think I'm resigned to being a Philly team. It's going to be like a trifecta of Philly, Toronto, Atlanta, because they're all pretty much the same distance from Pittsburgh, more or less. Mm-hmm. I still like some of the Outlaws and other people, but whatever. No, Paris Eternal, despite having some of the sickest skins in the game and some of the sickest jerseys in the league, I don't like some of the messaging behind their team. So they wanted to be an all-EU team, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because London Spitfire just pretty much, they're just Cloud9, so they just have, I believe, so they just have, like, an all-Korean roster, which, you know, I get that you want to have people that maybe represent where you're from. Maybe you had some, like, London Korean people, rather than just pulling a team from South Korea.
I was gonna say, like, but there are people of color in France.
Yeah, so that's what's, there's also that, I'll get to that, but a lot of people were disappointed because the London team was all-Korean, all-South-Korean. But I'm like, well, I don't know how much you should care when your team won the whole thing. Like, I don't think anyone in New York was pissed that they had an all-Korean team because despite how racist America is, we still see that as part of our identity. Some of us want to change that because they're racist. Some of us embrace that. But no one can say that the United States is not a very multicultural country. So when I see Koreans, my first thought isn't, oh, are they from here? It's like, oh, okay, there's just some guy. Or some person. Yeah. It's not always guys. It could be anybody. Despite the fact that I know that the New York team is all people from South Korea, they don't look like people that wouldn't be in New York. You know what I mean? That's not where my brain goes. So Paris wanted to make an all-EU team. And I'm like, well, it'd be one thing if you wanted to make an all-French team. Like, that'd be one thing. But you said all-EU. Yeah. And that feels, like, kind of specific. Like, in a way that doesn't grok with me. And people wanted to say different things. Like, well, what if people weren't from your country? Like, I'm like, well, this isn't that league. Like, London did really well, or the UK did really well in the World Cup. And that's where you show this is our local talent, you know? Like, I don't feel put off that a sports team I support isn't from my state or my city. And maybe it's because, like, the size of how the states are compared to some of the countries. But, like, I looked and... Like, the Houston Outlaws don't have anybody from Texas. Texas is about a third of the population of France and three times the size. But not a single...
And has two Overwatch teams?
Yeah, well, Texas has two Overwatch teams, but the Houston Outlaws don't have... Yeah. They're the only team... They only have one non-white player, I believe, on their team. They're the only team that has that. But none of them are from Texas. And then I looked, and I'm pretty sure Dallas Fuel had nobody from Texas and had multiple people from other countries. They had Mickey from Thailand... That XQC from Canada when he was playing. Seagull was, like, one of the few Americans, but he doesn't play anymore. But their team was, you know, they had people from, like, Spain, like, all over the place. And nobody in Dallas cared. Everyone was like, oh, shit, we love XQC. That's our we love Seagull. That's our team. Mickey's so adorable. That's our team. And then I was like, well, Florida Mayhem didn't even have any Americans on their team. Like, and nobody cared. Like, they cared that they weren't that good. But they're like... No one raised a fuss that no one was not only from Florida, no one was from the United States on that team. It was like, whatever, it's a team. So when someone says, well, we want a team that is more reflective of the people here, and you pick people that aren't just French, I'm like, that just feels like you didn't want Koreans on your team. And people are like, well, I didn't want an all-Korean team. I'm like, yeah, but that's not what an all-EU team is. Like, those are two separate things. When you say, I don't want to just go buy a winning team, I get that. But then, like, look at New York, who didn't make it all the way. Look at Seoul Dynasty, who was, like, arguably the biggest disappointment. They had a team that was winning the World Cup, and then they did so bad. So it's like, when you say that an all-Korean team is guaranteed to win, it's a nice thing to say, but it's still racist, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's just, like, model minority stuff.
Yeah. Like... But then you say, well, you know, other people should get a chance. I'm like, yeah, but aren't you the same kind of people that say that we shouldn't just put women in Overwatch League because the best should get to play? And, like, some of the people that are on France's team were, like, benched on other teams. Like, I really like Shadowburn as a player, but he didn't get to play that much. So, like, one could make the argument that, yeah, he's not as great. I think he's pretty good. I think the meta just didn't favor him, but he didn't see as much field time as other people. So if you're willing to say, well, we don't want to just get the best of the best. We want to represent where we're from. Like, so what about all the women then? Like, there are women in the Contenders League. There's women that are streamers, like, in top 500 that are good. Like, these people can play. Like, well, we don't want to have any diversity hires. Well, isn't... If you think that Koreans are so good that picking them is cheating, does that not make Europeans diversity hires? Like, by your metric. Yeah. And I'm not saying any of these things are true, but by your logic, building an all-French team is... Or building an all-European team, when the Koreans are so good, your words, is like building an all-women team, despite the fact that women shouldn't get special treatment. Like, it sounds the same to me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't know. It just seems like we have weird double standards to... We just want to have our white men play. And there's no shortage of white guys.
Can't be that.
No, it couldn't be that. But maybe people just think the EU is like the best Overwatch players in the league. If that's the case, then okay.
I was gonna say, why aren't they on teams already? Like,
yeah, why did you have to like do it this kind of way? So I don't know. It was a whole thing that felt weird. The only compelling argument I saw was we want a team that actually wants to be from here, and London's teams seem like they want to do more events in Korea than in London. So by that, I'll give you that. I will give you that. I want a team that wants to represent us. I'll take that argument every day. I feel like New York's team actually wanted to represent New York, but maybe London didn't want to represent their team because as soon as people found out it was an all-Korean team, they just gave them shit the whole time. So maybe that's why they didn't feel a connection.
Maybe that.
So I don't know. That's my whole spiel. Let's close this podcast off with some non-spoiler talk for Steven Universe's season finale.
Real quick. They really played it like it was a finale to the show, like a serious finale, but they say it's not, so I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, they have a movie and another season left, but if they never made another episode of Steven Universe again, I'd be sad, but I wouldn't be pissed off. I'd be like, shucks.
Yeah, I'd be sad, but I would be satisfied.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Do you have any, like, cursory thoughts? Like, anything we could say that's not too spoilery?
I think that overall, for Steven Universe, they actually used their time fairly economically.
Yeah, they actually did.
They had a lot of fan service-y moments, but in a way that didn't feel pandering. It felt, like, natural and organic to the story. So that was very satisfying.
Okay, let me put it this way. I felt extremely pandered to, but only mildly like it was, eh. Like, there's a moment that I think we're all probably thinking of right around the middle, where I'm like, I don't know if this was the only way to solve this problem, but I'm glad this is the way they chose. I'm very pleased and I'm screaming.
Yeah.
Especially considered being economical with time, this was probably the best way to get this done without having to, like, do more shit.
Yeah.
But I think anything that you would have wanted had been addressed in this, right?
Yeah, it's pretty well tied up, honestly. Like, that's why I'm still coming back to it being, like, a season finale, because, like, they really...
really tied a lot of things tight.
Don't have any loose ends that I can point to.
Yeah, you'd have to start, like, some new shit. You really have to start some new shit.
Yeah, and, like, that's awesome, like, but they even played the opening song, the Crystal Gem song, over, like, the last, like, 2 minutes of it, like, with the full run of it, not just, like, the opening minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Like an anime does. That's, like, a signal for people who watch anime that this is the last episode of the series, like...
But, like, some anime, that means there's still, like, some random shit we could do that, like, I guess is still possible, but why?
True.
I don't know, like, oh, there's this other faction that we just didn't discuss because we needed another season?
Yeah, but, like... But also... No, there's, now we're going to war with some other group of people that you never heard about before, even though Bleach ended in a perfectly, like, fine place.
Which, like, that said, there's a whole-ass universe out there, so, like, let's make it happen. Also, at this point, I wouldn't be sad if they just hung around Beach City and resolved any kind of, like, Beach City garbage, you know what I mean?
Minor Beach City conflicts? Now that they've actually resolved some major conflicts,
like, I wouldn't mind.
Doesn't feel as, like, wasteful for them to spend, like, time digging into, like, Sadie's music career or, like, the pizzas.
Give me a whole season of Sadie, Killer, and the Suspects.
Psh. Right?
I don't care any... Like,
Bring back the pink lady. Pink mystery girl.
Actually, yes. That's why we have a whole other season, is because of stuff like that.
So Pearl can get some.
I think that is... I forgot about that. I was so pleased. That is the only loose end. Actually, Pearl has hella numbers. So, like...
Yeah.
That's...
Season 6? Was it 6? 7?
Season 6.
Final season of Steven Universe.
Yeah, that'd be cool, but...
Pearl gets some.
Yeah, season 6 is what they'll call it.
Season 6.
I don't want to get too much into what it was, but there's, like, a final, like... Not a final, but it's towards the end, like, an emotional scene. And I'm not going to talk about why it is or what it is. If you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But the animation of it is so beautiful and was not necessary. I don't think, like, by saying it was well animated, I don't think I'm spoiling it. But wow, it was so beautifully animated just to be that show. Like, they went there.
Yeah.
And it was animated by the same guy who did the Beauty and the Beast scene where, like, Belle and Beast are dancing and it, like, spins around it. Yeah, I was like, yo, it is that smooth. This is so amazing. They didn't have to do all that, and they did do all that. And yeah, everything that I would have wanted other than Pink Lady, I think everything else was addressed in this, and I'm very pleased, and I'm happy.
Yeah, what was I going to say? And, like, this isn't a spoiler because, like, unless you're not caught up on, like, things that happened in the summer, but, like, whenever the White Diamond episode leaked, but White Diamond is so, like, aesthetically cool to look at in the show. Like, the way they make her, like, nail polish and lipstick, like, glimmer.
Oh, yeah. They really,
is very cool. Like, it's very clearly just, like, white shading on black, but, like, in such a way that it looks, like, wet.
Yeah, there's, like, some bloom and some, like, gloss or something. They really nailed it with the diamonds, I think. It's kind of like when they do those... You know how when they do, like, off-model stuff in SpongeBob where they do that close-up and they always used to be gross?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like when they do Yellow Diamond and they, like, really, like, focus on her features. Like, they did that, like, that's how, like, White Diamond is drawn. Like, she looks like she's in the same show, but, like, the budget of her is more than, like, the average budget of, like, Peridot, for instance. Like,
yeah.
White Diamond, like, since she's in the show so infrequently, she's always on model. We're like, we don't know how big Peridot is because she always changes size because that's what happens in cartoons.
Yeah.
But White Diamond is always, like, so perfectly detailed. You're like, whoa. Wow. It's a lot. It's a lot. And we have a spoiler conversation coming soon.
Yeah, we're going to record a special bonus episode.
Because we have thoughts that weren't going to fit into an episode like this.
Solely about Sadie Universe.
Solely. Universal reveal. It's what's up.
Woo.
Yeah, anything else? I think about an hour and 5 minutes or so is good, right?
Yeah, I think we're all set.
Oh, also, I started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and it is good.
Woo! It's so good.
That's all I got.
It only gets better.
I'm glad it started out good. The first episode has the roughness that a show has because it has to introduce people. But wow, it did not waste time getting to being good. Parks and Rec took a little bit. Steven Universe definitely took a little bit. The Office only went downhill after the first season, probably, just because of the format.
Mm-hmm.
That said, Brooklyn Nine-Nine's like, hey, we're here to kick ass. And it does.
And like, I'm, like, all the way caught up now, and, like, people are saying that, like, how could they save their, like, such good goofs for a season that they didn't know whether they would be canceled or not. But the goofs are good.
I don't think...
It's only been 2 episodes in, and they're really good.
Is it really saving goofs when you're just, like, genius all the time?
I don't know, because it's the same guy who writes The Good Place, which has gone from, LOL, like... clown paintings all the way to, like, there's no, like, moral ethical consumption under capitalism in 3 seasons, so.
I mean, this is a show that has a line, cool motive, still murder, is, like, and many of the episodes are focused on, hey, paperwork has to be done. So, yeah. Like, it's woke-ish. That's, I've been talking to people, like...
And Peralta is, like, very feminist character. Like, he does work to, like, lift up his female colleagues, and, like, there was a bit in the last season that was, he was in prison talking to the warden, and he was like, it's terrible for cops in here. Like, it's not worse than anyone. Like, no one has it worse in here than cops. And the warden's like, well, trans people have it bad. And he's like, yeah. And Jake's like, oh, God, yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, he feels like the character who will, like, over-exaggerate things and be like, okay, well, if we're being honest, like, yeah, that's, okay, I meant as a profession, but yes, you're definitely right. They start from, like, the very first few episodes, like, all right, we have a gay director, or CO, yeah. And it's really cool because, like, in the Thanksgiving episode, he mentions it's cool to have a family, it's two black dads, like, two white sisters, or, like, a Latina mom.
Two Latina sisters, like, and, like, two annoying old white men.
Oh, yeah, and then the admin.
Oh, Gina, yeah.
Gina.
And a white lady.
What's her name?
Chelsea Peretti.
Chelsea Peretti. I remember when I'm seeing her, but I was watching, I'm like, wait, aren't her and Jordan Peele married? Like, that's so... that's just a weird fun fact to me. But no, it's cool because you can have... The good thing about that is that means you can do characters that can do things that would be kind of racist if not. Like, having...
If it was just the one...
Yeah, like, if you just have Terry Crews, which his whole career is this, but, like, if you just have, like, he's pretty subversive in his own character, but if you're like, oh, yeah, of course we have, like, a big black guy that's, like, kind of scary. That's your one character. That's one thing. But you're like, oh, but there's also Hulk. Then you have, I can't remember any of the characters' names, but you have the two female cops.
Rosa and Santiago.
Yeah.
Amy.
Yeah. You have Rosa, like, she can be kind of off-putting and angry, but then you have Amy, who's just kind of like, hey, guys, I'm a goody-two-shoes. She's like, okay, yeah, neither of these two are stereotyped now because of each other. Then even, like, with the white dudes, you have Andy Samberg's character, like, I'm kind of cool and goofy, but the other guy's like, I'm really uncool, but also a little bit smart, but kind of a pushover, like... But then you also have him be like...
Don't worry, they move past the, like, him having a creepy crush on Rosa thing. Very quickly.
Oh, yeah, like, he's already apologized for it for me. But it's like, even within the context of the show, she's like, that's not cool. And, you know, Peralta's like, come on, man. Like, everybody's like, that's not the right way to be. So, like, the joke is not, oh, man, look how much he cares about. Someone's like, man, this dude's a creep and he doesn't even know it. Like, no, he does know it. Oh, okay, these characters have layers, like onions and cakes. But it's a good show. I really appreciate it. We pretty much burst through, like, 24 episodes or 12 episodes, like, really fast, so.
Yeah, that's very, why, very bingeable.
Apparently that's why my girlfriend got Hulu, and we have just been watching Bob's Burgers on it. Also, yo, The Bachelor is a good-ass show. And The Bachelorette, and Bachelor in Paradise. It's all good. I love it. It's terrible. You should watch it. Like, the general you, the rural you, not just you, Steph. You should all watch it. It's fun. Huh? This season has been way better than predicted.
Nice.
Let's give them the social media biz, because now I'm just rambling. Okay. Let's go back and forth. Steph, if people wanted to find me all over the internet, where would they look?
If they wanted to find you, they could find you anywhere at Brother Dom. What about me?
If they wanted to find you, it's going to be a little bit trickier, but we got it. So.
It's true.
We can go on good old Twitter, and that's going to be what, Captain Steph?
Yep.
Cool. You want to go on to Instagram? That's Hella Steph. Mm. You want to go on a Tumblr? That's The Snow Queer.
It's true.
Simple. Now, what about us? Where do they find us as a team, character reveal at?
They can find us on... Facebook, as just character reveal. Pretty straightforward, I think so.
Yep.
They can find us on Twitter, at character rev. character, yeah. R-E-V, two R's in the middle.
Got him.
They can find us on Instagram at Character Reveal, where we recently posted a picture or two.
We're actually doing better. You should check it out. It's so good.
And you can listen to us through your browser by going to characterreveal.simplecast.fm, where you can find all of our episodes and stream any of them that you choose.
You should definitely do that. Or heck, you could even find us on the Google Play Store, iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you find podcasts. Why don't you go do that? Give us some 5 stars if you can.
Hey, and if you if you happen to listen to us through iTunes, toss us some stars and maybe even some words in a review. That'd be cool. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, how we can do better. And hey, this is just a thought that I'm throwing out into the world. Speak it into existence. If you want to be a guest on our show, or know of someone you think should guest on our show, reach out to us. We have an email address. It's characterreveal@gmail.com.
It is.
Pretty straightforward.
That's the
truth.
We'd
love to hear from you.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. Any questions, concerns, comments, or praise, we'd love it all. Hey, that's gonna be it for us. I think we did a good one, right?
Call it a night.
Let's call it a night. Hey, listeners, thanks so much for sticking with us through another episode. And until next time, see you later.